In case 22-899, Smith versus Arizona, Justice Kagan has the opinion of the court.
The Sixth Amendment's Confrontation Clause guarantees a criminal defendant the right to confront the witnesses against him. That's essentially a right of cross-examination. It prevents a prosecutor from using out-of-court statements made by a person whom the defendant has no opportunity to cross-examine in court. In prior cases, this court has held that the Confrontation Clause applies in full to forensic testimony, a DNA report, or a blood analysis, or a lab analyst's findings about whether substances are illegal drugs. A couple of decades ago, in our first decision on this subject, we held that a drug report couldn't just be introduced into evidence. That was because the defendant had to have an opportunity to question the lab analysts who had performed the tests and decided that the substances were drugs. Maybe that analyst had made a mistake, or maybe he even had some reason to fake the results. A defendant wouldn't be able to find that out unless he had the chance to cross-examine the analyst in court. In our second case on the subject, we held that a prosecutor couldn't introduce one lab analyst's findings through the in-court testimony of another analyst who hadn't participated in the testing, what we called surrogate testimony. The court basically said, you can't just put up any old analyst on the stand. You need the analyst who's done the testing and can respond from personal knowledge to questions about how it was done. And then we got to our third case on this subject, which happened 12 years ago. In that case, a prosecutor again introduced a forensic report through a different analyst than the one who had done the testing. But the state said this was different, because the in-court analyst was providing an expert opinion, and the report that he was testifying about was merely the basis for that opinion. Now, to understand that argument, you need to understand something I haven't said yet about the scope of the Confrontation Clause. It applies only to statements offered for the truth of the matter asserted. In other words, for statements offered at trial so that the jury will believe they are true. And the state's argument was that the forensic report wasn't being used for that reason. It was being introduced only so that the jury could evaluate the basis for the expert's opinion. When presented with that argument 12 years ago, the court couldn't make up its mind. We fractured in all kinds of different directions. In this case, we tried again. The facts go like this. Arizona police officers found Jason Smith with what appeared to be drugs. The state charged him with various drug offenses and sent the items it found to a crime lab for scientific analysis. Analyst Elizabeth Rast ran the tests. She prepared notes documenting her lab work and a report summarizing her findings. She said the items contained meth, marijuana, and cannabis. The state planned to call Rast to testify about what she did and what she learned in the lab. But for unexplained reasons, Rast stopped working at the lab before trial. So the state swapped in substitute analyst Gregory Longoni. Longoni had no prior relation to Smith's case. He hadn't tested the items or been with Rast when she had. All he knew, he learned from reading Rast's materials. So from those materials, he conveyed to Smith's jury what Rast said she did in the lab, that she had performed certain tests in certain reliable ways. And then he gave his opinion. Based on Rast's findings, he said, the items tested were meth, marijuana, and cannabis. Smith argued that this violated his right of confrontation. Once Rast's out-of-court statements were admitted via Longoni's testimony, she became the real witness he had a right to cross-examine. But she was absent. Arizona disagreed. It said, just as in the prior case that we couldn't decide, that the Confrontation Clause wasn't implicated because Rast's statements weren't admitted for their truth. Instead, they were admitted solely to illustrate the basis of Longoni's expert opinion. And the state court agreed. Today, we reject that theory. Where, as happened here, an expert conveys an analyst's out-of-court statements as the basis of his opinion, and those statements support his opinion only if they are true, then the statements are introduced for their truth. The whole point, after all, of the prosecutors introducing that kind of testimony is to lend credibility to the expert's opinion. And the statements can do that only if they are believed to be true. Consider the matter from the perspective of Smith's jury. The jury couldn't have used Rast's statements to evaluate Longoni's opinion without making a judgment about their truth. If it believed her statements, it would find his opinion credible. If not, not. That means a defendant needs to be able to cross-examine the person who made the statements. That's the only way the defendant can put doubts in the jury's mind about the truth of the statements, which is in fact critical to the prosecution's case. There is another question here about whether the statements meet another requirement of the Confrontation Clause, which is that they are what's called testimonial. But that question was not properly presented to us, and we leave it to the state court to decide. Justice Thomas and Justice Gorsuch have filed opinions concurring in part. Justice Alito has filed an opinion concurring in the judgment, in which the Chief Justice joins.